It is February 16th. I apologize for a long absence. I just couldn't record this episode earlier. At first, there was no physical possibility when I was so psychologically exhausted and depressed that I simply couldn't bring myself to record at least a couple of minutes of a story about what surrounds me and how I feel about all this. I am back in Donbas, in the very area where the Russian army is trying to advance and which Moscow decided to take at any cost, regardless of losses of Russian soldiers, of a destruction, or even more so, the deaths of local residents. My comrades and I arrived a few days ago on the outskirts of Bakhmut, the city for which the most active battles are now being waged. We were accommodated in more or less whole building, which under the circumstances could already be considered a miracle. We had a roof over our heads to keep out the snow and walls to keep out the freezing wind. And there was nothing more. No electricity, no communication, no heat. We slept in jackets and boots, getting into sleeping bags without undressing. It was a real frost outside. In our house, the temperature was just above the freezing point of water. But it was not the most terrible and difficult. A couple of days after we arrived near Bakhmut, the positions of military unit to which we were sent were fired upon by Russian artillery. Fortunately, no one was killed, but several cars were destroyed and the houses that gave us at least some shelter were seriously damaged. We were transferred to another city, not far from Bakhmut. Conditions there were much better, but the city itself looked very badly damaged by the war. There were destruction everywhere. It was impossible to walk 100 yards without stumbling upon the ruins of a house bombed by the Russians. Some houses survived partially. We could have a few walls left, or the basement was almost intact. These houses are almost always inhabited by people. Usually these are old people who are more afraid of moving from home than of war. Their living conditions are terrible. They have neither heat nor light. They often do not see hot food for months. They survive on canned food provided by the military or brought by the volunteers. And all the same, these people remain in the dilapidated houses every minute, risking death from another Russian shell or rocket. During the year of the war, I saw a lot of destroyed houses and people who refused to leave the ruins. But now this sight just crushed me. I don't know why, but right now I was as depressed as possible by the seemingly familiar sights of war. Rather, I thought that I was as depressed as possible, because ahead of me were waiting for a few more tests that literally put me on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I needed to get to the hospital to find one medical officer there. And on the way to the hospital, while I was walking through all these torn streets, a dog nailed me. Red, very thin female dog, obviously exhausted both physically and mentally. She rubbed against my legs and tried to get into the pockets of my military uniform with her muzzle. She was neither aggressive nor cowardly. She was hungry, cold, and looking for protection. And the inability to help this poor creature just tore me apart from the inside. I walked, quickening my pace, trying to break away from the dog, for whom I could not do anything, and doing my best not to burst into tears right in the middle of the street. You know, it was a moment of complete despair, the moment of realizing your own powerlessness in the face of circumstances. When you realize that you can't do anything for people or for dogs or even for yourself, a projectile will fly in and that's it, the end. You feel completely helpless. And then there was the hospital with dozens of fighters, old and young, conscious and unconscious, with minor wounds and severed limbs. This hospital only exacerbated the feeling of helplessness. It, this feeling, is in itself very nasty, but in war it disturbs incredibly. It does not allow you to think clearly, to concentrate on the task. Well, it also prevents you from recording podcasts. It took me a week to recover enough to be able to get back to work on the podcast, and I hope I don't have to experience anything like it again. I really hope.